Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris, we have Antonio Huneas, who studies the past, the present, and maybe the future in UFOs and related mysteries. So that's an interesting thing that just dropped into my head from nowhere. Antonio, do you think if nothing happens in 2012 beyond whatever stuff is happening, we'll start looking for 2015 or 2020 to bring some mystery?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there another mystical year?
Do you remember how all the theories about 2000? And,
sure. Well, I'll tell you what though. If you were selling upgrades to people's computers to be compatible with 2000, you made a lot of money. So the question is here, when is the next deadline if 2012 doesn't make it?
Well, at this point, it's unclear. There's some books on the Maya thing that are already clever enough that they're pushing the date to 2013, which means that they can keep their book on the shelves, you know, for another year. Because like you say, if nothing happens, and there's something like 60 books by now, if not more, if nothing momentous happens, yeah, those books are going to be downgraded to a buck a piece, you know. So, but if you have it in 2013 in the title, and there's a couple that did that, you bought another year insurance there. But the thing is, I can't think of any other sort of religious or cultural date. But
there
I'm
are.
Sure they're going to come up with something.
Yeah, the end of the Egyptian calendar, I think, is 2018. And the end of the Kali Yuga, I think, is around 2020, isn't it?
Okay. Well, yeah, the Kali Yuga, that would be a big one. Yeah.
What's going to happen? Nothing's going to happen 2012. It's going to be, you know, Y2012K. Everybody's the media is going to go crazy in November, December. There's going to be a countdown. You know, of course, a few little things will happen. People will get all nervous. And then, you know, December 22nd will dawn and everybody will breathe a big sigh of relief. And then all hell's going to break loose in 2013.
Exactly. Then maybe 8 months later or something. I mean, even there was all the expectation about 2000, right? The millennium, right? Nothing happened really on the millennium. But yet then a year later we have the, you know, 9/11, and that changed things forever.
Yep, self-created, the self-fulfilled prophecy. We're programming our futures based on our front-loading by the media that's all fear-based. So
we're going to take down the planet by our collective unconscious.
Could be, but the trick would be to jump from the unconscious to the conscious. Because the unconscious, we're there already. But that's what these guys were talking about, Arguelles and company. You know, they were saying it and from the days of the harmonic convergence. Really, I mean, that was the beginning. Even though I couldn't even find a specific reference to 2012, even on the Mayan factor. But certainly, it was all about the calendar, and it was to insert like your own consciousness into it, right? To kind of live. Because remember, Arguelles even adapted the calendar for current use, and he had some kind of like Maya astrology or something, kids and everything.
Yeah, he was really caught up in the whole moon cycle, the 13 month to go back to a more natural calendar that the Gregorian calendar kind of forces everybody to live in a. It's not an idyllic cycle for us, and that he was really a proponent of the 13-month, I think, 28-day moon cycle.
Yeah. Also, he had a problem, you remember, with the quartz watches, too? He didn't like those. He said that, I forgot what was his explanation, but he liked like the old-fashioned clocks. He said there was something about the modern clocks that would screw things up, too. But I'm kind of coming off my head, you know. I mean, I read it a long time ago, so maybe I'm not quoting him correctly, but there was something to that effect, too.
Yeah,
but I think he had a point there, you know, I wouldn't go as far as, of course, whatever, but that we do live in a kind of an unnatural society. Yeah, if we compare it to what traditional cultures, right?
Yeah, it doesn't really accurately reflect the secular nature of human existence according to some, you know, more indigenous systems of clinical systems. The Maya had many calendars. They had calendars for Venus, for the hurricanes.
They had a remarkable calendar for Venus. Yeah.
Yeah. For human gestation. There were a bunch of different calendars, and the way they all interlocked was just beyond ingenious. It was quite baffling.
Oh, yeah. It's a marvel. It's certainly a marvel of the ancient world. And the thing about the Mayas, too, is that they were such precise observers of the sky. And this had led some ancient astronaut proponents, too. You know, what was their fascination with astronomy? And why did they, even though they didn't have any kind of telescopes, but they did have observatories. And there's the famous one in El Caracol, right? In one of the Mayan ruins. I forgot which one. I think it's Chichen Itza. And it even looks like a modern observatory.
Yeah, it's one of the only buildings with a round top. It's one of the only Mayan buildings that's built in the round. Well, this is a good opportunity for me to do some shameless self-promotion. I will be leading a trip down to Palenque during the time period that Terence McKenna identified as being very important time for the introduction of novelty and change into reality. So Clifford Mahudi, my Zuni elder friend, and I will be leading a trip down to Palenque. If anybody's interested, talk to me after class.
Okay. Right. The shameless plug has now been given, and by the way, we're going to collect a check before you leave this room.
Oh, cool. I get a check? Excellent.
No, we're going to collect one from you for the advertising.
Put it on my tab.
Oh, your tab is getting bigger. We'll never collect on it because we think Chris is a nice guy.
Oh, cool. Well, you got to come down, Gene.
I'll think about it.
Get a shoehorn to get you out of your office. Sir.
I never leave this office. You're right. I mean, you've been down here. We'll go out for lunch or something.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah. I think you're like Cinderella. If you go out past a certain time, you turn into a pumpkin.
Or a werewolf.
Yeah.
But that's only the nights of the full moon. You know, even a man who is pure in heart and says his prayers by night may become a wolf when the wolfbane blooms and the autumn moon is bright.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Yeah, really, I'm impressed. Or, what is that, Poe or something? Or
no, that
Shelley?
Was the Wolfman, 1941.
Oh, okay. Lon Chaney.
Yes. Lon Chaney Jr., actually.
Oh, Jr., yeah.
That's right. Not the original. He died like 1930 or something like that.
Wow. Antonio, there's another subject. I think we've kind of beat the Mayan thing a little bit into the ground.
Excuse me, sound of beating into the ground.
Yeah, so what else do you want to discuss?
With you, we could go on for days.
Oh, yeah. And especially I'm doing more and more historical stuff now, you know.
Yeah.
I always loved history, and I think it's so important on any subject. I mean, not just UFOs, right? I mean, in order to really give it proper opinion about any subject, you have to know the history of that particular subject. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't, and they just come up with any kind of opinion or theories, but often they don't even know anything about the history.
Well, you and I had a really interesting conversation last year, and you were pretty excited about what you considered to be pretty good smoking gun type evidence of pre-Columbian abduction accounts from Mesoamerica. Do you want to spend a little time and talk about that?
Oh,
that
was fascinating. That case is fascinating.
Really fascinating.
Yeah, this was a case, that was kind of one of my, in fact, I probably should put that article on the web because that was published on issue number 2, which is out of print. So because, that was early on in our magazine, so we didn't have enough copies. I guess people can still get probably an electronic version of it, but I will probably put it on the web, that particular article, because it even has a lot of interesting parallels to what we were discussing. And this article was basically a discussion of a series of omens, celestial omens, what we today would call a UFO wave, that took place in Mexico in the first 15 or 20 years of the 16th century, right before the arrival of Cortes, like if something was preparing. And it's mentioned in every single chronicle. So there's no question that something happened. Now, it's possible that, like any UFO case, you know, some of these had natural explanations, might have been a comet or whatever. In fact, we published in the article a famous word print of from one of the classic books about the ancient Mexico by Friar Diego Duran, written in the colonial days. Most of the books written about the ancient Mexico and as well as Peru were written by priests. Because what happened is as soon as the Spanish conquered the new lands, one was to exploit them, but the other one was to save their souls, right? Well, there was a fascinating debate, actually, at the Spanish court, right after the discovery of America, as to whether the Indians had souls or not.
I'll tell you, discrimination takes all shapes and forms. We have Antonio Junius,
right,
who takes only one form, I think. He's not a shapeshifter. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste your time. Instead, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client, and you can become a client right now. We've settled millions of dollars in tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking at your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 1-800-685-9751. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-685-9751. That's 800-685-9751. Again, 800-685-9751.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
When you start Antonio, he never stops because he's got so many fascinating stories to tell. On the Paracast, we continue with Antonio Huneas. He's one of the editors at Open Minds magazine, and he's been around the UFO and paranormal fields for hundreds of thousands of years, right?
That's good.
I have a million of them, and none of them are funny. You started a bit of a presentation before we broke, and let's kind of pick up on that.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I was talking about this debate that took place at the Spanish court or at the University of Valladolid. I forgot exactly when it was.
Like whether the Indians had souls, right?
Yeah. Because it was the first debate on human rights, basically. You know, I mean, they had discovered this huge land, which initially Columbus thought it was Asia, right? But then shortly thereafter, they realized it wasn't Asia. And then, so what do they do with these people? You know, for most of the people in the crown or whatever, all they wanted was gold and exploit them or whatever. But there were some priests that were more human, I guess. And they realized that a lot of the priests became like the defenders of the Indians. So, and that's why, because they had to learn the language. Once the determination from the Spanish crown was that the Indians had souls, so therefore they had to be Christianized, you know, bring into the new religion, into the true religion, as opposed to the satanic religion that they had, right? And maybe even the Spanish had a point when they saw the gruesome human sacrifice of the Aztecs, you know. They said, hey, this is the devil, man. I mean, who else, you know, opening people's chests and taking a palpitating heart and stuff like that? I mean, that was pretty gruesome.
That sounds like an Indiana Jones movie.
Right. The Aztecs did it for real, you know, and with thousands of people. The Aztecs had even set up a system where they didn't want to conquer these other kingdoms, and instead they had a blood tax. That's why a lot of these tribes actually supported the Spanish, because they had this horrible system under the Aztecs where they was kind of have sort of a self-government, but then they had to supply whatever, 500 young kids, you know, every year or whatever, to for the human sacrifice. So it was determined that now you had to give the true religion to the true, in quotation marks, to the Indians. So they sent all these missionaries. They were mostly Franciscans, initially Franciscans. Later they were also Dominicans and other priests. And these people learned the language in order to properly evangelize, right, the natives. But as they learned the language, then they also got exposed to their culture. And then they talked to a lot of elders at a time when these elders had lived under independent kingdoms, right, not under the Spanish. So that's how really the first important Spanish chronicles were written. A couple were written by soldiers like Bernal Díaz del Castillo, but most of them were written by priests. And the most famous of all the priests was Sahagún, Bernardino de Sahagún, who is considered in current days as the father of Mesoamerican anthropology. Because he wrote a massive book, which wasn't even published until the 1820s, where he examined every aspect of the ancient Mexican civilization.
Now, I should ask you here, that wasn't because they wanted to deprive him of his royalties, so they waited till he was dead.
No, well, no. Basically, he was a priest, so he wasn't doing it commercially. He sent the papers to whatever, to his order in Spain or to some archive, and then eventually in the 1820s, someone discovered it, and it was finally published. And now it's highly regarded, that book, because it has, and of course, in that book, there is a chapter about the omens as well, which I discussed in my article. And then there was the other priest, who was Diego Durán, who came to Mexico. Both of these priests came to Mexico around the 1550s, so very early under the conquest. And Durán wrote a very famous history, too, of the ancient Mexicans. And in this book, he has this strange account of what today we would call an abduction. It was basically a peasant who was abducted by an eagle, but it was a talking eagle. And as we know, eagles don't talk, you know, so something happened. It's actually much more fascinating than that. The guy claims, as the story was told by Durán, and that he was in the fields, tending the fields or whatever, just a peasant, and then he gets taken by this eagle. And then the eagle takes him to some cave somewhere and then talks to him. And then they tell him that he has to appear to the Emperor Moctezuma and give him this sort of warning that unless he humbles himself or whatever, his game is up, basically. So next, in this kind of vision, because as far as we know, he never physically left this cave, he appears in a room, and there's Moctezuma, who's kind of sleeping. And then he takes kind of a cigar. As you know, the Indians invented tobacco, right, also, among other things. But they used it for different purposes that we do. And then with this cigar, burns him on the thigh, I guess under the instructions of this talking eagle or whatever. So burns him on the thigh. And the next, he is taken by the eagle again, and he's back in the field or in his village. They tell him that on the next day, then he has to, the king, as kings often did in those days, you would receive, right, the people, and the people would come with problems, and you would act as a judge or whatever. So sure enough, the poor guy shows up on the next day, and he meets Montezuma and tells him the story, and then Montezuma says, yes, I had a dream in which someone burned my thigh. And sure enough, his thigh had was a wound there. So then he got angry with the poor guy, and they throw him in jail. And that's the end. Even though the eagle had told them, this is interesting, because often in a UFO abductions, you know, the so-called aliens tell the abductee something, and then things turn out differently. So the same here. The talking eagle had told the Indian, don't worry, nothing's going to happen to you. Don't fear. You go see the emperor and tell him what I told you. But sure enough, according to Duran anyway, he was thrown into jail, and that's it. That's the last we heard of the poor penalty. But what's fascinating...
The moral of the story just is don't burn the king on the thigh. You know, maybe leave some lipstick or something, but don't burn him on the thigh.
Right. But what's fascinating, there is a church in Mexico City from the 17th century. I don't have the article with me here, but I forgot the name right now. It's San Ignacio or something like that. I can look it up. And in this church, there is a stone monument of different aspects of the history of Mexico, whatever. And this is from the Baroque period, 1600s. And sure enough, and we published the picture in the article, which I took myself. There is the story of the peasant being taken by the eagle. So that appears in an actually stone monument in a church in the 1600s. So it must have been a fairly important case for it to make it to a stone monument in a prominent church.
There's been a lot of important cases.
This case has never been published in English. I think I was the first one, as far as I know.
There's been a lot of activity over the years in Mexico. It seems to be a hotbed for UFO activity and paranormal type reports. And it seems like that kind of history of increased amount of activity does tend to, we're kind of getting hints that it may have been going on before the arrival of Europeans. So that's a really fascinating case. Any other cases that you found in your research that talk about UFO type phenomena that predate the arrival of Europeans or from that 14th, 15th century time period?
Well, one of the things I mentioned I did a web story on that too, but I also in the openminds.tv website, but I also published it in the 2012 article.
We have another story coming from Antonio Junius. Then we're going to ask questions from our listeners with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
When I hear about natural disasters and the danger of having no water, I'm not worried. Why? Because I have an Aquapod. Got it from MyPatriotSupply.com. The Aquapod Emergency Water Storage Kit comes with a pump and a huge 65-gallon bladder that easily fits in a standard bathtub, allowing a family of four a 14-day supply of safe, fresh water, and at a much lower cost than bottled water. Made in the USA with BPA-free material, the Aquapod keeps water fresh for up to 8 weeks. Just fill from your tub, then pump into jugs or bottles. The Aquapod is only $29.95, and when you buy two or more Aquapods at MyPatriotSupply.com, you'll qualify for free shipping. Plus, check out the Survival Seed Vault. With 20 seed varieties, Tattler canning lids, the nation's only customizable long-term storable foods, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Get stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Yes, as Chris wants to make himself sound old because he's basically channeling a Mayan right there, I think that's what's happening. We have Antonio Junius, who's about to tell us another story, please.
This was just mentioned because she is a very important figure. In Mexico, her name is Guadalupe Rivera, and she is the daughter of the famous muralist Diego Rivera, one of the great mural painters, you know, of modern art, and the one that did all the famous murals in the presidential palace in Mexico City, which they appear in many books and so on. So she's the daughter of this guy, and she was an ambassador to the United Nations Food and Drug Administration, and she was also a senator, and I think she was the economic advisor to the presidency. So she's a woman with very important credentials in Mexico, besides being the daughter of one of their most revered artists. She said that during the course of her duties, this would have been probably in the 1970s, she was driving on a van in some part of Mexico. I forgot the name right now. And they saw this ball of light hovering right on top of their van. And as a result of this, this led her to become interested in the UFO phenomenon. And she kind of became an ufologist, you know, for a woman with those kinds of credentials. And, her main thing was that there had been contact in ancient Mexico. And that ancient Mexico at one time had been an extremely important point in human history because they were in contact with people from space. And they gained knowledge and so on, but then somehow they lost it, and as a result, you know, then they got conquered by the Spanish and so on and so forth. And then she finally, I think it was in 2010, she published a book, which I haven't read, but I did read some accounts of it and some excerpts about all this type of phenomena, but she wrote it as a novel. Because a novel, I guess, gives you more flexibility. And it's supposed to be a trilogy. But the name of the book was The Circle of the Gods, but has not been translated to English, as far as I know.
Chris, let's just move the discussion here because there's a lot to talk about. You have been collecting a few questions from our forums at forum.theparacast.com. You want to bring some of those
up?
Okay. There's a couple here that might be good because they're more general, so we can start out with those. This comes from Ves V. Highfolk, who's been a poster since May 2010 at forum.theparacast.com. He says, Antonio, what case do you find as best evidence of alien visitation? Is the first of three questions.
Oh, boy.
Kind of a tough one.
Yeah, well, it's a tough one only in the sense, like, there are so many, you know? I mean, even after you rule all the bad cases, you're still going to end up with a fantastic amount of good cases, and this could be in the, at least in the hundreds of cases. So
well,
for
give us
me,
a short list
rather
of some
than,
of your favorites.
Yeah. Well, for me, rather than just the case, what I've always thought was so fascinating was that there were so many. If there was only one, you know, okay, maybe it's a dubious phenomenon, but you do have many. Now, just to give you a couple of examples, and this is one that I did. I did write it in the magazine, in Open Minds magazine, a few issues ago, and it's not a well-known case, but I found it so convincing. It's known as the Pirassununga Close Encounter of the third kind, and it basically happened in Brazil in 1969, and there was this city there, not a big city, but not a small town either, and there was a very important Air Force academy there, not the academy for pilots, but like for, lesser officers, and a number of other installations, and basically this classical flying saucer hovered over the town. This was at daytime in the morning. According to Brazilian Air Force documents, it was seen by at least 500 people. And it landed in an open field. And then there was a fruit vendor. And meanwhile, as it landed, it also caused, apparently, the UFO caused this. There was a power blackout, and the telephones stopped working. In those days, of course, there were no cell phones. And so next, as many people saw this phenomenon, but then there was a fruit vendor whose name was Thiago Machado. He was a 19-year-old kid at the time, and normally people would have freaked out, you know, and move away from the object, but this guy was the opposite. He wanted to be right there on the action.
Sell him some mangoes.
Right. So he runs towards towards the object. Now, this is not just a UFO landing. The UFO lands, and then a hatch opens, and these beings come floating out of it. So that's a close encounter of the third kind. But as the guy comes very close, he seems like he was going to go all the way to the saucer. So then one of the aliens or occupants shot him. But not to really kill him or anything, shot him with some kind of beam weapon at the thigh, but enough to knock him out. And then they went back into the UFO, and the UFO takes off. They take the kid to the infirmary, and he had minor burns. But nevertheless, so here we have a case where you have at least three types of close encounter of the second kind, which according to the Hynek terminology, those cases where you have some kind of physical evidence. So the UFO landed, and it left grounds on the, trace marks on the ground. It was a lot of grass there, so you could really see this. It was described as a barbell, used in athletic or whatever. It was so heavy, that he had just in a tripod shape. And we got the pictures from the Brazilian Air Force, because at that time they had an official project called CIOANI, which was sort of their equivalent of Blue Book, but more open-minded. And so that's one category of physical evidence. Then you had the electromagnetic effect, right? I mean, the whole town lost its power, the telephones, which again is associated with some UFO cases. And then finally, you have the physiological effect. This guy was burned, and not seriously, but enough that it was noticeable. And this was the Air Force interview, the doctor that treated him, and everything. So, I mean, what else you want if you're a skeptic? I mean, here you have a case, 500 witnesses, physical evidence on the ground, physiological evidence on the main witness who is the closer to the scene, possibly electromagnetic evidence. I say possibly because that would be harder to prove, but nevertheless, the timing coincides. And on top of that, you have an official investigation that basically validates everything that I've said. So to me, that's a great case.
That is a good one. You don't hear mention of this. That's not. That's one of the cases that should be, I think, more notorious and more, you know, well known.
Yeah.
I think in the field.
No, you're absolutely right. That's why I always do try to mention this case. You know, I got exposed to this case by accident, as it usually happens, when I went to Brazil way back in 1984. And I met, my brother was living in Brazil at the time, and I met Cleto Pereira, who's a prominent Brazilian ufologist, but a man of great culture. I think he had been, he had worked for the Brazil Central Bank. I think he had been like the president of the Rio de Janeiro Association of Art Collectors. You know, this was a guy when I was in his apartment, I had a glass of whiskey with him. You could tell this was not, you know, just a simpleton. It was a well-cultured guy. And he had very good connections with the Brazilian Air Force. And at one time he had even acted as kind of their unofficial spokesman. And he's the one that had obtained this document written by a colonel that was connected to this Air Force Academy for sub-officers. And I couldn't believe it when I read that document. I mean, it said everything that I said before, you know, but in an official document. So we have many cases like this. In the next issue of Open Minds magazine, which is not out yet, well, actually, we do already have copies at the office, but officially still not publicly out, but it will be out in a couple of weeks. There I talk about a case that is mentioned sometimes in various books and things, but never in detail. And it's known as the Cusac Close Encounter. And this happened in France. And basically, this case involved two children who, and it, in some respects, is similar to the Pirassununga.
I will have to get more about the case involving the two children with Antonio Huneas. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-877-804-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. 1-877-804-MY-TV. Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. 1-877-804-MY-TV.
Did you know that 50% of heart attacks are brought on by infections? Did you know that hospitals are breeding grounds for antibiotic-resistant bugs like MRSA? The environment is infected with parasites, and the mild winter means ticks with Lyme disease, mosquitoes with West Nile virus, and cold and flu viruses will be on the rise. Protect yourself with Nature's Natural Antiparasitic, Antiviral, Antifungal, Antibiotic, Allicin, the Heart of Garlic. Get concentrated protection with Alli-C and Alli-Van from AffinityHealthProducts.com. One capsule of Alli-C equals 40 cloves of garlic or 100 garlic pills. With no garlic breath, Alli-Van has Allicin in spray, liquid, and cream forms with 3 times more strength than leading brands and costs less. Go to AffinityHealthProducts.com, spelled AffinityHealthProducts.com, healthproducts.com, or call 877-888-7126. That's 877-888-7126. Protect yourself with Alli-C or Alli-Van from AffinityHealthProducts.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig.
Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarette's revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
This is Jim Mosley, editor of Saucer Smear, and I'm here to say a good word or two about the Paracast, which I believe is the gold standard of paranormal radio. Listen to it if you can.
Chris is taking on his tricksterish voice, I think. Devilish voice, I don't know. Antonio, you're talking about the case about two children. Let's continue.
Yeah. So basically, the Cusack case, like I said, happens in this very small village in France. It was in the 1960s, I think it's 67. I'm going to look at the article here, make sure that I got the correct information. And basically, these kids, who actually were the son and daughter of the mayor of the town, so he was kind of the most prominent guy in town. It was a very small town. And this happened in 1967, August 29 of 1967. So the kids go up and they were tending the farm animals. They had about 20 cows or something. And they're in the field there. And then they notice that the cows are going towards a hedge and a stone face there, that a fence that I guess separated two properties or whatever. And as the kid was 13-year-old and his sister was like 9-year-old. So then as the kid goes there, he notices that on the other side of this stone fence, and there's a hedge there, he can see this huge luminous sphere, hovering right over the ground. And then there are these four beings who are on the ground, like doing something. And they look small. So these people being, as a lot of the alien occupants do, right, in the UFO literature. So they see these small kids, and this is kind of a nice little tidbit in the story. Then the kid says, "Oh, are you coming to play with us?" You know, you see, it's like little people, right? Are they coming to play? But then when the aliens realize that they're being observed by these two children, they decide it's time to take off. But they don't just enter the craft in normal way. They fly. They fly and dive on top of the sphere. And we published a nice illustration from a French comic, because in France this case is quite prominent. And so eventually they fly into the sphere, and then the sphere takes off and it's gone. But it left a very strong smell of sulfur. And this is important because, again, there's the ufologist that initially wrote about this in the old French periodical Le Lumière de la Nuit, which was the equivalent of Flying Saucer Review, but in France. They were the first ones on the scene. Well, actually, no, I'm wrong. The first ones on the scenes were the police. What happened is, so the UFO takes off. The animals, there was a dog too, they all like kind of panic, right, after all this commotion with this big object and everything. So the kids have to first gather the animals. Then they go eventually back to their home, and they're crying and they're all upset, and they tell their parents, and I guess the parents go to the scene. The UFO's already gone, although eventually other witnesses were found. So the father calls the police, and he's the mayor, and the police comes, and one of the gendarmes says that he could still smell the sulfur. And then they find another witness who didn't see the UFO visually because he was working on the basement or something of the barn there, but he did hear a noise. Not only there was the sulfur, but there was a very vibration. This object was emitting some very, very loud vibration. So that the sound part was also heard by other witnesses. Well, they basically cross-examined these children, first by the police, first by the parents, then the police, then eventually the ufologists, and they could never find a single contradiction. And so the case was considered a classic. In the 1970s, when GEPAN, you know, the official investigation in France, which is under the French Space Agency, they have a UFO office. Like, it would be like if NASA had a UFO department, but I guess the French are more sophisticated politically. So they reopened an investigation of this case, and it was done by Claude Poher, the head of the agency. And all the details are explained in the article, because basically 99% of the data on this case, you will only find it in French. So a lot of this stuff is not available for Americans. Fortunately, as we may have discussed in the first interview I did, you know, a few years ago, I did study French at the Sorbonne, so I can read French. So I was able to track a lot of the original sources. But to me, so then again, the official investigation came to the same conclusion. They completely ruled out that it was a helicopter landing, because that was sort of the natural debunking explanation. Oh, the kids just saw a helicopter. This Claude Poher, who was an aerospace engineer, demolished that theory. But more fascinating even than that is in the 1980s, there was a counter-investigation by a group of skeptical ufologists in France. But I have to explain that in Europe, the skeptics are a little bit more open-minded than the United States. They seem to be less dogmatic. They're still very skeptic, but they're kind of fascinated by the phenomenon. They are sometimes very honest, like in this case. What happened is these guys thought that they were going to be able to crack this case. They said, oh, this is an easy one. Two kids, you know, we'll just interview them and ask some leading questions, and they're going to, sooner or later, you know, there's going to be a contradiction. Well, they couldn't find it. They took as hard as they tried. So eventually, even the skeptics' own investigation, and it's right at the beginning of their article that it was a paper written by a French ufologist called Thierry Pinvidic, which was published. The investigation was done in the 1980s, but the paper wasn't published until like 1992 or 93, somewhere around there. And basically he says right at the start, we thought we were going to explain this case, but I'm sorry we couldn't come up with an explanation. And we only going to explain a case if we can establish a solid foundation. If not, it's not worth it.
I'll tell you what, we have so many things to cover and not enough time. Let's get to some more questions and maybe keep the answers a bit shorter as a result, Chris.
All right.
How about, this is question number two from Vesta High Folk. Some of these avatar names are pretty interesting here. Do you feel that the Lonnie Zamora case or the Pascagoula, Mississippi case were alien visitations?
Which was the first one besides Pascagoula?
The Socorro, New Mexico case and Pascagoula.
Oh, Socorro. Okay. Yeah, again, alien, I don't know if they were alien, but I think both of those cases are pretty solid. The Socorro case, investigated, you know, long time by Blue Book, by Ray Stanford, of course, wrote a classic book. And recently there was that guy, what is his name, Basaggio or something? There was some guy that claimed that it was Anthony Bregaglia. Bregaglia, right, that he claimed there was a hoax by some kids from the Institute of New Mexico, Institute of Mineralogy or something like that. But he had some letter, but it wasn't very solid, basically. And to me, and not only that, I actually read the chapter on Socorro that Quintanilla himself wrote. You know that Major Hector Quintanilla, right? Quintanilla, the last director of Blue Book, who by no means can be considered a UFO believer. In fact, ufologists used to hate him. And this guy could not explain Socorro. And he went on Blue Book as unknown. And believe me, there had been some kind of a prank. The FBI was involved. It would have been discovered back then. So I think that's a good case. And Pascagoula, same thing. I interviewed Charlie Hickson myself many years ago. I was in the area, not at the time of the incidents, but many years later. But he took me to the area where it happened, and I published a big article in Open Minds magazine, too, a few issues ago, after Charlie died. After Charlie died, which was only like in December or something of last year, November, December, shortly, just a few months ago. I published on the web, you know, and I put the entire transcript of some lecture that he gave, which I attended. So yeah, there's a few things here and there on that case that you can point out of some doubt here or there. But I think basically the case stands. And there are other witnesses as well, including people from the Navy.
By the way, Chris, you didn't ask the question from Trained Observer, did you?
Not yet.
Okay, let's do that one because he's worrying that his question won't be asked.
All right.
I was saving the best for last. You're going to love this one, Antonio.
Oh, this is a good way to end this segment.
Yeah.
And then we'll have a cliffhanger. Let's go ahead with this.
Okay. Why did Open Minds run with the long-ago debunked Dan Burrish, Kane, Katsalas story? The fact the guy has changed his name several times seems indicative of something, don't you think? The amount of work that Michael Schratt put into that was incredible for the story of a known hoaxer. Also, wasn't there some falling out between Open Minds, Schratt, Burrish, Kane, Katsalas over the Project Aquarius article?
Whoa, yeah. What a question we have here.
Yeah, that's a tough one for me because you're asking me about our company. Of course, I had nothing to do with the Burrish story myself, you know. But poor Michael, I guess he was really assigned that story. So he did it, but he actually had some doubts, even at the time. And I remember he telling me, he said, I don't know what to do with this guy.
With Gene and Chris, we have Antonio Junius. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNlive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNlive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right. Every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNlive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.